Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Asia Business First podcast. I'm Adam Bhaktia.
And I'm Julie Yu. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, I hope you had a good break, Julie. I can tell you were sorely missed at the last podcast.
Yeah, I missed being here too. I hear that last week you had an intriguing conversation about investing in arts.
We did.
Right?
Yes, David and I were still lamenting in the fact that we don't have deep enough pockets to be investing in art. Nevertheless, it was a really energetic and interesting conversation.
Yeah, it's a pity I missed that, but really, something just happened to crop up on Fridays.
It's just like that, isn't it? Well, I've got to say, we've been away from each other quite a bit recently, right? I mean, I've been away, you were away, you had stuff to do. So it's been a bit of a revolving door. Mm. David Bottomley has sort of been filling in for both of us.
Yeah,
I'm not one to judge because I just took a long break for 2 weeks. And it's great to be back on the show and, of course, with you on the podcast.
Yes,
so I'm the last person to judge when people take off. But I tell you what, if we make this a habit, Julie... We might have to watch out because we could one day find ourselves replaced by not someone, but something that doesn't need time off. And I'm talking about artificial intelligence.
Mm, Adam, and you won't believe this, but actually there's already a lifelike robot news anchor in Japan that debuted in April on national TV. And she has a name. Her name is
Erica.
And she's 23 years old.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Young and beautiful. So I'm not sure whether we should be excited about it or worried, but I mean, it seems to be the way of the future. And we already see more and more examples around us, like driverless cars and drones delivering packages for us. And just this week, and China's internet censorship is well on the way to becoming automated. And thanks to machine learning, computer systems or bots can churn through huge amounts of data, identify patterns by analyzing them, and then make their own decisions on what to censor without human intervention.
Well, I suppose it makes sense, doesn't it? Because, I mean, for many jobs that are rather mundane, repetitive, it's perfect to have a robot with artificial intelligence to be able to complete those kind of tasks. I just wish, Julie, that they would invent an artificial intelligence robot that could do our housework. I mean, that's what I wish for. But I mean, we're still talking about that, right?
Yeah.
But there was also an article in Forbes on Wednesday about how AI is beginning to transform other industries, including the legal sector. Mm. AI-powered software can be used to analyze documents or to confirm facts and figures in legal cases, which can often be quite boring to do, in fact. And these are just some of the examples of how AI is increasingly making inroads into the workplace.
That's right. So how worried should we be about our jobs being taken over by AI, and which industries are most at risk? We are very much delighted to have three guests joining us today to discuss this further, and we promise they're all real human beings. So we have with us Shinzika Shukla. She's an associate director at professional recruitment consultancy Michael Page. Chun Kin Seong, co-founder and director of Insider Security. It's a startup which offers corporations automated cybersecurity monitoring tools. And last but not least, Lawrence Liu, director of AI industry innovation at AI Singapore, which is a national program launched back in May last year to anchor national capabilities in artificial intelligence. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Welcome.
Thank you. I just want to quickly go around the table and maybe get your thoughts on whether this fear of humans being replaced by AI, I mean, is this justified or over-exaggerated? Should we start with you, Shukla?
Sure. I've been a recruiter for most of my life, and one of the few reasons why people look for jobs is work-life balance and something challenging at work. So whilst most of the people around worry that robots might take their job or artificial intelligence might take their jobs away, my thought is artificial intelligence is going to complement their jobs. So, a lot of them talk about work-life balance. So if your repetitive, mundane work can be taken care of by a bot, you have more time to go back home. People are looking for challenges in their role. They don't want to do repetitive things time and again. So when we introduce these sort of technologies in our jobs, day-to-day jobs, and it's a great opportunity for people who are looking for challenges to upskill themselves, learn new technologies or learn new things, really.
Okay. And Kinsel?
Yes, I think it's going to complement a job. In fact, if you look at the recent improvement in artificial intelligence, it's really in really specific and really narrow field, such as image recognition, voice recognition, video recognition. So unless your job involves a limited scope, which in reality, we know that usually we're hired for a specific role, but we end up doing 10 other roles. So it is not possible to replace your job unless you are really hired for one role and one role only. And even with the AI, it will complement our job because the accuracy is not that great. It is not a silver bullet. And what might happen is we will end up working more, being more productive, and there'll be a higher expectation from the bosses and the stakeholders to produce more.
I tend to believe that. That to be the case. Even, you know, it's like that even here. When you perform, they just throw you more work. Lawrence, I want to get your thoughts on this because, you know, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook actually said this and said that artificial intelligence will be complementary to the human workforce. And just this past week, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella was speaking at a tech conference in Paris, and he said that artificial intelligence is the defining technology of our times. Would you agree?
Yes. Like what the other two speakers was mentioning, my team, we believe, you know, AI is not going to replace jobs, at least not the majority of jobs. I guess an unstated goal of AI Singapore is to make sure we have work-life balance. In a sense, we want everybody to have a 9-to-4 job and not 9-to-9. Okay. AI is going to automate a lot of mundane tasks. It's going to complement us. As stated by King Seong, when you get hired into a job, you have multiple tasks in that. Today, AI is very good in the three areas that King Seong has already mentioned. Machine vision, language translation, and pattern recognition. Now, in a typical job, you do a lot more than that. You have creativity, you have reasoning, which an AI system doesn't have today and probably will not have for at least, you know, 50, 60, 70 years.
And we have to practice social intelligence.
Yes, you have your social intelligence, your EQ and so on. Yes. So what will happen is AI will replace those that can be automated away, the mundane tasks, the one that you mentioned earlier about sieving through massive amount of data to do censorship. It's very boring, right? AI can remove that. Then what will happen to the sensor? The sensors will then go on to higher value added roles, and he will monitor the AI systems that's doing the censorship. Maybe he will be the one saying yes or no, the approval process.
So they require still human intervention.
Yes, even if you give the lawyers a document to translate, I'm pretty sure even if they use an AI system, that you, as the person who pay for it, want to make sure that there is a lawyer, that a human lawyer that actually review that.
A human lawyer there for the money, yes.
Yes. So, but yes, there will be roles that will be replaced by AI. Those are the roles that are jobs that have a single task. And throughout history, there have been jobs that have disappeared.
So are you talking about millions here, millions or billions?
I wouldn't say millions or billions, right? And even when those jobs disappear, new jobs will be created. These people will not go hungry. They will just need to reskill. So for example, I think within the next 10, 15 years, we're going to look at driving as a job to disappear. So what will happen to our drivers? So they need to reskill. They need to rethink. They need, can they value add? You know, there are still a lot of tasks, and especially in Singapore, right? How do you deliver a parcel to the 13th floor on a HDB flat? It's just going to be very hard to automate that at this point in time. So I think you still need a person to do that delivery. Maybe the delivery companies will have personal touch.
Eventually, they're looking at drones to do deliveries, right?
I mean, it's still going to be a challenge.
Still a challenge, indeed. You know, Shinjuku, we were talking about how these big tech titan CEOs are all for AI and they're plowing big money into it, particularly Google as well. But it's interesting that Elon Musk, of course, who's the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, he's warned about it. In fact, came head-to-head with Mark Zuckerberg about it and said that the possibility of displacing so many jobs that could create some sort of upset or social revolution of sorts. Do you buy that?
From my experience so far, we've had clients who've introduced AI within the business in their operations part, and we haven't really seen employees being affected. Their options are to, you know, upskill yourself. So from my experience so far, AI has created more jobs than reduced. From the articles we read, from the surveys we do, you know, with the numbers we get, it seems like for every job lost, at least two new jobs will be created. If you're talking about 7 years ago or 5 years ago, when, you know, the sort of roles we were recruiting in technology were your basic ERP roles. And now we're talking about roles like, you know, robotic programmers. We're talking about DevOps engineers. So it's all about upskilling. And the people who are doing these sort of roles now aren't people who just, you know, graduated off university. These are people who would have started their careers in traditional technologies and have upskilled themselves or have trained themselves to pick up new technologies. So the number of roles being made redundant or number of jobs being displaced versus new roles being created, I think the probability of new jobs being created is much higher. A recent study said that there will be 500,000 more jobs created in the next 10 years with AI being introduced versus the number of jobs that will be lost. And historically, based on numbers that we've been seeing in our industry as well from a recruitment perspective, there's a spike in the number of jobs we've been recruiting versus a downfall. So if you look at 2014 numbers versus 2017 or our H1 for 2018, there's a spike in number of new jobs in technology. Again, with technology, you start hiring in digital. With digital, you start hiring in marketing. With marketing, you start hiring in sales. When all of this increases, you start hiring in accounting, finance. With that, you need human resources. So every time you're implementing new technology, it's only creating jobs, really. It's a good challenge for employees as well. So we see an increase in retention.
But if you're looking at jobs that exist right now, which professions are safe? What jobs will be around for, you know, 20, 30 years?
Most roles that require problem-solving skills, social intelligence or emotional intelligence, are here to stay. Robots can only take over roles that are mundane or repetitive. Just talking about human resources as a function. You know, multiple clients have introduced chatbots for, you know, understanding human resources policies, your leave plans, etc. But at the end of the day, most employees would like their HR to say, hey, it's okay, you can take this leave, we understand the issues at your end. So the human intervention will be required within every discipline or within every function. We've seen HR professionals upskill themselves. So first we used to hire HR professionals for their interviewing skills. Now they're being hired for being able to really understand a behavioral-based answering skills or interviewing skills. So you see there's a change in the job type. It's the same role, but the skill is different now.
All right. From what I'm understanding, you're saying basically, Chinjuka, that anything that has an element of human creativity is safe for now. Kinsey, I want to get your thoughts on that, because when we talk about human creativity, whether it is art, music, or even design, do you think that those areas are safe from being automated in the future?
Okay, I mean, so that depends on how we define creativity. So how machine learning and artificial intelligence works, they learn a lot with a lot of data from the past. It can be data generated by the previous artists, a few decades of artists, or it can be generated from other sources. So, you know, let me quote Albert Einstein. Creativity is about hiding the source of our inspiration. So if you can get a machine to generate a new artwork based on the previous artwork and human actually enjoy that art, then it can do creative work, but it is not happening today.
Well, it's good to say. I mean, I don't know a lot about architecture, but I do have a lot of architect friends, and you know that you've got AutoCAD, right? That is kind of automated. And in the old days, you had to just draw all the plans out for buildings and yourself. So, in that respect, in terms of design and creativity, we're already seeing that happen, right?
So maybe let me quote another example. So this is actually a question that a lot of people are not answering. How accurate is an AI system? Can we accept a 90% accuracy? For example, we can probably get the AI system to churn out legal document or contract at a 90% accuracy. Is that acceptable? What about if it's a complicated case, in the example of a divorce? This is probably something you need a lot more social intelligence and creativity to make sure that both sides benefit from the outcome. Okay. So AI, there's only a limit of what AI could do. In the end of the day, you still need a human to verify the result and fine-tune the outcome.
So just to add on, there have been AI systems that have created music that sound as good as another musician. They have AI systems that have generated art that, you know, some look really gross, some look pretty decent. And there are also AI systems that now can actually write code. But again, all this, is it really creativity or is it pattern recognition or recalling from historical patterns and just, you know, putting bits and pieces together and say, hey, this is something new. I don't think that's creativity. Creativity is really, you know, coming up with something new, which
something fresh.
We have not, they have not seen before. So I think we're still very far away from real creativity in terms of AI.
Okay.
Now, Lawrence, you're the director of AI Singapore here, and your role is, of course, to encourage the adoption of AI in Singapore. What has the progress been like so far, and what are the benefits do you foresee?
So we have several programs to encourage the adoption of AI. One, obviously, is to fund fundamental research in AI within the academic ecosystem. We have also our Grand Challenge program that, we look at solutions that probably we can deploy in the next 5-10 years maximum. And we are trying to pull together multiple professors and industry to work on a really tough problem for Singapore. Now, for the more immediate needs, the industries, as of yesterday, I think we probably have about 12 projects that we have approved under our 100 Experiments program, where the company comes to us with a really tough problem. We find one of the leading professors in AI that can solve that problem. We do the matchmaking. We co-fund that. Okay, so we have, I think, 10 to 12 projects that has been approved. A couple of them have already started. But closer to my heart really is about developing talent, AI talent in Singapore. And we have the AI apprenticeship program that we announced last year. We have our first batch of apprentices, 13 of them that's going through the program. This is their third week. So they are a really fun bunch. Mm-hmm. And I think after 9 months, they will be off to hopefully create companies or AI.
Lawrence, I'm sure the government has a big role to play here too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of these programs, of the 10 or 12 projects that we supported, some of them are government agencies, right? We want a nice balance. It's not all just solutions that is built for government agencies. We want to make sure there is a fair amount of support given to our startups, our SMEs, and so on.
Not only the support, but how about regulation? Should we expect some of them to be implemented?
Well, AI Singapore, we do not have a program that looks at regulation. I think there will be other agencies that will be taking up, like AI ethics. I mean, there's already a data privacy under IMDA. So the core focus for AI Singapore is really the promotion and adoption of AI and to train more AI engineers for the Singapore ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Kin Tiong, I was just reading as well at this tech conference that Cisco System Chief Executive Chuck Robbins was talking about AI and algorithmic data processing. And he said this, and let me read this to you, that the sole tool with which companies can effectively counter today's security threats, stressing that there will be no other way. More and more of that, because that's the only way we're going to solve the issue of cyber threats. And given that you're a startup offering automated cybersecurity monitoring tools, do you agree with what Mr. Robbins has said there?
I have to agree. So this is what we are doing in insider security. So the reason this is possible, because for AI and machine learning to work, you need a lot of data, a good quality data. This is a lot possible now than before because it's a lot easier. We have a lot more storage and computational power to collect the data for analysis now than before. So the hard part of doing a research usually is defining a problem clearly. So what you have read is actually a computer security problem can be defined, can be scoped down to a mathematical problem that can be solved if you have a lot of data from the past. So for example, in insider security, we learn what is the known good to detect the bad.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So this is something that can be done easily by a machine.
And what we're seeing is that your cyber threat is no longer going to be humans. It's going to be AI that is going to
be attacking.
Wasn't
worrying?
Yeah.
But that's why you need AI to counter.
All right.
Yeah. So it's on both sides of the fence.
Correct. In fact, the bigger challenge that we are solving is we want to create a force multiplier effect, because the truth is in the cybersecurity industry, we are lacking experts and the attacks are growing exponentially. So we're not going to wait for the experts to be groomed and be ready.
I'm just curious, with the resources we need to tackle that situation, and you're both advocating that AI is it, isn't that going to require huge pools of capital to develop AI in order to be sophisticated enough to meet the challenges that society has today?
Well, I mean, AI is just one part of the equation. There's no magic. It's just another tool, another technology that will be required in, you know, cybersecurity or in automation. In terms of building the AI Singapore program, what we have announced is $150 million that the Singapore government is investing.
It's no small sum.
Yes. And the number of people that we hope to train, you know, it's initially 200. We are looking at 1,000 AI engineers over the next couple of years. So it requires money. It's not going to require a lot, but I think it requires a lot of effort. It requires a lot of support from the industry, because we can train, but we need the industry to take on these people.
Chinjika, I mean, they require a lot of engineers to meet those challenges. $150 million in terms of resources for AI Singapore. I mean, are you able to fill the gap in terms of skilled labour to meet those challenges when it comes to developing AI here in Singapore?
So, he mentioned there are a lot of government programs that are helping the citizens upskill themselves. And we have a lot of clients in the market that are partnering with the government to give such individuals an opportunity to start their career in a new technology or just a new role itself. Last year, there was a survey that was done just on cybersecurity, because the government is introducing new laws for cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. And it said about 81% of the employers weren't ready and there was a lack of talent. Mm-hmm. But the government was very reactive, and immediately we had multiple programs being introduced in Singapore. And at this stage, you'll see multiple employers hiring these roles, giving opportunities to people with just the certifications as well, giving them opportunity to learn on the job. So if you have that one subject matter expert within the organization, that person is responsible to build talent below themselves. And this is a great opportunity for people just graduating fresh out of university, or people who've just been made redundant, who are looking to change their jobs, to just undergo one of these government programs and join employers that are working with the government. And this is on-the-job training again. So you actually get a lot of real-life example and real-life training versus theoretical information.
I don't know, Julia. It sounds to me like there's a bit of a demand supply gap when it comes to the skill set that's required, of course, to digitize the economy, the global economy, and all these companies. Can you speak to us about that? I mean, is that the case, that if there is a skill gap, that there is potentially, a dislocation or distortion in remuneration packages for anyone entering the tech field? Is that the case today?
People who already have the right skill set obviously are paid much higher versus the ones who are entering. So you will see the gap increasing if we don't upskill ourselves, or if we don't really adapt to the changing times. Being in Singapore, what we've seen is the government is really proactive in getting its citizens to pick up new technologies. So the gap is not very large at this stage. Having said that, if we do not continue to upskill ourselves, the recent reports say by 2020, you should see a much larger gap in terms of subject matter expert salaries and a mid-level salary. So, yeah, the subject matter.
Lawrence, are you seeing any pressure on that in terms of when you're looking for the skill set that you require in both your companies? I mean, is there pressure on wages?
It's definitely more expensive to hire someone with the skill set. In fact, when we started our first hire, we hired computer science grads, and we were surprising to find that the starting salary is as high as a legal grad and doctor, medicine grad. Wow. So it's definitely additional pressure on us.
Yes. So today, if you want to hire someone who has AI or machine learning experience fresh out of school, it's going to be very expensive. That's because you go to computer science. My belief is that anyone who's passionate to learn about AI and machine learning can come from any discipline. In fact, there have been a lot of cases where new discoveries was done by people who were not from computer science. So in our apprenticeship program, we are open. We only require you to be, less than 3 years working experience, Singaporean, and you pass our test. We have a one-day test. I don't care whether you are from BZ, from arts, from social, science, it's fine.
Media.
From media. So our current batch includes people from multiple disciplines, right? And they're actually doing very well. So I think that's fine. So the other thing is that, again, you see, technology has advanced in terms of education. Today, you have a lot of online training, whether it's from Coursera, Udacity, DataCamp, right? It allows anyone with a passion to learn about any subject, including data science or AI, right, on their own time. And the government is very supportive. A lot of these programs are already under SSG funding, right? So there's really no excuse.
No excuse. There you go, Julie. We better reskill ourselves because you never know who's the robotic anchor in Japan taking over.
Erica.
Oh my gosh, Erica. My job. Don't come for my job. Look, listen, folks, we've got to leave it there today. Thank you so much for coming in. Lawrence Liu, the Director of AI Industry Innovation at AI Singapore. Chen Kin Seong, co-founder and director of cybersecurity startup Insider Security. And Chinjika Shukla, an associate director of professional recruitment consultancy Michael Page. Yeah. Thank you very much to all of you
coming in today, weighing in
on the topic.
That's right. And if you like this podcast, please share, rate, and subscribe to it. For comprehensive coverage of business news, catch us on Asia Business First, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Singapore, Hong Kong time on Channel News Asia. And you can also find us under the video on demand section on channelnewsasia.com.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday at 9 a.m. sharp at Singapore, Hong Kong time on Asia Business First.